It's the Lost Years Pod. Lost Years Pod. Running through this show called Boy Meets World is what we're doing. Sid and Tay are your friends who will always stand by you. It's the Lost Years Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Lost Years Retrospective Fancast. I'm Sid.
I'm Tay.
I was about to say, I'm Tay.
You forgot your name?
Yeah, I feel like each one of us has done this a couple of times. Where we just blank. I am not Tay. I am in fact Sid. Mm-hmm. Anyway, hi. Welcome to season 5, episode 22.
Whoa, we're just chugging along, baby.
It's getting good. This episode had me cackling.
It's crazy.
Out loud.
It's so crazy and so stupid, baby. These last like few episodes of the season, and then into the next, I want to say 2 of season 6.
Mm-hmm.
Love. Adore. Yeah. So silly, so fun. So many like really good moments.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to like remember how some things resolve, which I'm excited about because I don't remember exactly how certain things come about, and I'm excited to rewatch that. And also, I'm so excited to get into their college years. It's gonna be great.
It's so soon.
It's so soon. What are you nostalgic for this week?
The children's book, Goodnight Moon.
That's so cute.
Yeah. So this is one of the books that my mom read to me practically every single night of my life, growing up. And for those that don't know it, Goodnight Moon is a picture book. It's also a rhythm book. So there's a lot of repeated phrases and things, but it's basically, it's set in a bunny's bedroom and they say goodnight to practically every object and thing that is in the room or that the bunny can see before going to bed.
Yes.
And I have, again, read this a lot growing up, but when I took French, my mom got me this Bonsoir Lune.
Oh.
And so it's all in French and it's really cute.
That's adorable.
And I've kept that for the last 15 years now.
Sid was holding up a book for the
right. Yes, I have a book. It's in my possession. I was literally holding it. But I did a little bit of looking into this book because I was actually curious. You know, like when things are so common in your life and then you're like, what about?
Yeah.
How did that come to be?
For sure.
So I looked this up and this book came out in 1947.
47?
I know. That's what I said.
47?
1947, everybody.
There's no way that's right.
Super true. Written by Margaret Wise Brown and illustrated by Clement Hurd. The illustrator made it bunnies because he couldn't draw humans. And
real.
I respect that.
Respectful. Completely understand. For you for knowing your limits.
It was extremely undersold when it came out. There were only 6,000 copies sold in the first release of it, which given children's books, that's also very small.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the World War II baby boom, it was extremely successful after that. And it ended up, and I say this now, as of like 2017 is what this last metric said, has sold 48 million copies around the world.
Yeah, sounds about
right. It's been translated into multiple languages.
This person's dead, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
unfortunate.
47, for sure, probably dead.
But here's the fun facts about this. It was considered a controversial book when it came out. Because...
I'm stunned into silence.
Yeah, it's funny when you hear about what banned books of yesteryear were, because you're like, Good Night Moon.
Right.
It was a controversial book when it came out because it didn't teach the children anything or, quote, take the children anywhere when it came to storytelling.
What?
Yeah. But
okay, it's what? It's a
it's
book.
It's just a picture book. It's fine.
It's for babies. They don't need to know anything
children.
Yet.
The best part, like me thinking about it as a kid, I loved it because of the repetition and just all of the illustrations, and
exactly.
I loved it.
Yeah.
But whatever. The other fun side of it, it was banned specifically from the New York Public Library from 1947 when it came out to 1972 because the librarian at the time hated the book that much.
Just one librarian was like, no.
The head children's librarian said, not that book.
Unbelievable.
She had like a personal vendetta against this book, and I don't understand why. But, you know, other writers have called it one of the most popular kids' books because it not only helps put children to sleep, but it's Someone said it's a both a, quote, bedtime book and also a going to bed book. And yeah. having that distinction in my head, I loved because yeah. I've never actually thought about that as two For separate sure. things. Another said it's one of the only realistic stories out there to gain the universal affection of a fairy tale, which I thought was really sweet. Oh,
I love that.
And then the last one that I liked, it teaches young children that life has stability, reliability, and durability. Ooh. And while I don't fully believe that to be true, I like the analysis of that because it's nice to have that repetition.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, this is a big book of my childhood. And I was just thinking about all of those books. And
I love that.
I was looking at this specific one because it's on my shelf.
Yeah.
And yeah, I liked it a lot.
Beautiful. Incredible.
Anyway, what are you nostalgic for?
Rent the musical.
Okay.
Here's the thing about Rent. Jonathan Larson wrote Rent and died right before like previews, I think, or mm-hmm. like during previews. So he didn't get to make any like changes to much of the show before he passed
I don't
away.
Think he got to see it. I think it was literally like opening night or right before.
Yeah, it was yes. Okay, so the thing about Rent, it's based off La Boheme, which is an opera, I believe. And it's beautiful. I think Rent has some of the like best music in mm-hmm. theater. That said, the plot of Rent, the scenes of Rent, very much built on the skill of its cast. So I am very specifically nostalgic for the 2008 Live on Broadway pro shot that they recorded as the like, I think it was the revival of Rent maybe was closing because it opened in 1996, I want to say.
Yeah.
And so in 2008, it either ran, I don't think it ran that whole time, but I think there was a revival in around the like early 2000s. And that cast is phenomenal. It's one of my favorite casts of like theater ever, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know why this week I like got Rent in my head, but I went and found one specific, my favorite scene of Rent is Halloween / Goodbye Love, which is after Angel's funeral. Spoilers, there's a death. it's set during the AIDS epidemic of the 90s. So, you know. And I think the thing that I like about it is that it shows the dynamics of a complicated friend group where there are lots of interplaying relationships and lots of history. And I think that that's fun and beautiful and interesting, but it is not always done well.
Yeah.
And the thing that I like the best about the 2008 version is that it is perfect. I think everybody in that scene is doing exactly what they should be doing all the way through. And specifically Will Chase, he's my favorite Roger that has ever existed. And I also think he's the best one. I've seen a lot of Rogers, both in bootlegs and not in bootlegs, for legal reasons, this is a joke. And the thing about Roger is that he is the saddest boy alive.
Yeah.
And if you play him with like, he's sad and also angry. And if you don't play him with enough of either, you're not doing service to the deep trauma that he has experienced.
Yeah.
And like how he is playing that out in his relationships and like with his friends and stuff. And I think Will Chase does it perfectly. I think he does it perfectly while also sounding vocally incredible. And mm-hmm. so I love that cast. Renee Elise Goldsberry is in that cast. Eden Espinosa, who is having like a Broadway revival. This is like, I think her first time on Broadway since Rent, potentially. It's been like 15 years or something like that.
Oh, wow.
So it's been a hot minute. And I'm just like, that cast is so good and everybody's so good in it. And I just love the dynamics, the interplay. The way that it's filmed is beautiful. It's like, it feels very of the 90s, which I think makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of like quick zooms and like pans and like quick cutaways. And it was probably so hard to film. I assume they did it over a couple of nights, but I just love it so much. And I think it's such a great production of Rent period, but also everybody on that stage is doing their job so well.
Yeah.
And I just love it. I love it. I love it so much. And yeah, Rent is cool. Rent is good. But if you haven't seen Rent, the movie sucks.
Yeah, it does.
The movie sucks so bad and it makes me really upset. There are parts of the movie that are acceptable, but I think they cast a lot of people from the original Broadway production with the exception of like Mimi and Joanne, I want to say. And then everybody else, I think, was from the original.
Isn't Idina Menzel in that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, she is. And she was bad in that.
Yeah.
She was better in the movie than she was in the show, but she was like on the stage show, but she was bad. She was not good. All that said, I love Rent. I love Will Chase. Will Chase, you will always be famous. If Will Chase has no fans, that means I'm dead. And yeah, Renee Elise Goldsberry also really phenomenal in that. Eden Espinosa, everybody in that cast is so fucking good. And I could write a whole dissertation on Rent and Rent Live. Choices were made on all fronts. Choices were made. Do you want to get into it?
Yeah. Season 5, episode 22 is titled, I mean, it's Prom-isses. Prom-isses.
Yeah.
There's weird hyphens in it, so I was trying to figure out how to say it, but it's basically, it's like promises, yeah. But prom.
Prom-isses.
Mrs.
Is this from Mrs.
The episode aired on May 1st, 1998. It was directed by Alan Meyerson and was written by Alan Idelson and Rob Letterstein. Mm. The synopsis is Corey and Topanga end up at the same hotel as Alan and Amy on prom night.
Sure. I have so many anyway, we'll get to it. I'm already upset. Okay, so the first scene, we're in the Matthews kitchen. The boys come down the stairs dressed in tuxes, and Corey says, so this is it, the big night, the biggest night of our lives. Sean says, the night we leave as boys and come back men. Corey asks, are we talking about the same thing? Sean replies, I certainly hope so. And Corey says, okay, so after the prom, romance in the air, you and Angela, you're going to look into each other's eyes. Sean cuts him off, me and Angela, I don't know, maybe. What do you think? We sat down and discussed it? How dorky do you think we are? What about you and Topanga? Corey says, we sat down and discussed it. Sean sighs and Corey continues, you know, we weighed the pros and cons. We made a chart, actually. But us, we haven't. Because she feels that, but I, you know, so maybe. Sean's like, really? Topanga said maybe. Corey says maybe, assuming that everything goes exactly perfectly right. Sean starts, so naturally, you're going to do everything in your power. Corey finishes, to make sure everything goes exactly perfectly right. The boys high five and say maybe as Amy comes down the stairs and asks, maybe what? And Corey's like, oh, just guy stuff. Alan has also come into the kitchen in this moment and says, oh, guy stuff on prom night? Sit down. They do, and he continues, listen, you know your senior prom can be a night to remember without it being a big night. He turns to Corey and says, I want you to remember that things can happen in a minute that can change your life forever. He leans in and points, you understand me? Corey says, yes, dad. Alan turns to Sean and points at him, and Sean says, yes, dad, which I think is the cutest.
Yeah.
I like it so much. Alan finishes, all right, have a great time. They get up and Amy says, wait, picture of the boys on prom night. She takes a photo of them together and tells them to have a great time, and they leave. Amy turns to Alan, who asks how he did, and she wraps her arms around him and says, you were great. I am so proud of you. He thanks her, sort of laughing, and she adds, I'm pregnant. And he laughs, and she takes a photo of him with the camera, and she says, I'm not kidding. And he continues laughing and repeats, I'm not kidding. As she takes another photo of him, she pulls a pregnancy test out of her back pocket, and when she shows him, takes another picture, he stops laughing, looks at it real hard, and says, well, you know, these things aren't always right at first. Pulls another pregnancy test out of her pocket, hands it to him, taking another picture, and he just goes, oh! She puts the camera down and says, aren't you happy? And he's still staring at the test and says, well, I don't understand the question. And she goes, you're not happy at all, and heads up the stairs while Alan, still confused at the positive test, starts to follow and call after her. And that is the end of the scene.
Oh, my God.
I know.
First of all, it's prom episode, and part of me was a little bummed that we didn't get to see a promposal, and then I thought, did they do that in the 90s?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
I have no idea.
I mean, it seems like they all just kind of assumed they were going together.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, but I'm not sure, and it would have been interesting to see how they would have asked, because they did just kind of, everybody's going.
Promposals were so elaborate when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And I remember when I, because I asked my date to prom.
Hey, I did too, don't worry.
Well, I was like, there was a lot going on my senior year when it came to like boys and stuff, but I remember wanting to ask one of my friends and being like, I just like texted him and I was like, here's the thing. I was going to try to think of some elaborate way to ask you to prom, but I can't. So do you want to go? And he was like, yeah. And so we went to prom together and it was adorable.
I asked one of my friends that was in college, but he was like one of my best friends that I had a very long term crush on.
Sure.
And was just like, yeah, I'm just going to shoot my shot. And I did. And he said yes. And then like a week and a half later was like, no.
What? What?
And so then I had to find a new date.
He changed his mind?
Yeah. And granted, you know, you're in college and maybe going to high school prom is not ideal.
But you're still 18 when you're what? What is he, a freshman?
Yeah.
Okay. He wasn't above it yet. Maybe if he was like a junior, I could get it. But like, you're still a baby. You're the same age as everybody here. Relax.
Yeah. So that was... That was a bummer, but asking another guy after I had to figure out who to ask, because no one was asking me.
Real, real, and relatable, and I get you, and fair. And this is a safe space.
And we've moved on.
And it's fine.
It was 11 years ago. It's fine. But yeah, asking people the prom was so weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
Being a girl, like, just because I feel that's just very set in stone is like, the guys ask the girl.
Right.
And so then when you don't get asked, you're like, what did I do?
I never in my head was like, I am going to wait for someone to ask me, because I just knew that that wasn't happening. And so I was like, okay, if I would, and also the circumstances surrounding me going to prom were extremely dramatic. I don't know if I've ever told you.
Oh, that. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we have talked about that.
Okay. Yeah. And we don't have to rehash it here, but like, I was like, if I'm going to prom, which is going to involve a lot, I am going to, like, take it into my own hands, essentially. I was like, I'm doing everything. I don't care. Like, I want to have a date. This is my date. Whatever, whatever. So I was like, let me ask my friend. And he was very sweet. And he was like, yeah, of course. And we went. And it was mostly fun.
Yeah. Anyway, I think when Sean is bringing up the thing that, you know, we didn't talk about it, we're not dorks like that, I was thinking, no, Topanga and Corey did it right there. And you got to talk about it.
Yeah, of course.
That's, you should talk about it, actually.
1000%. Especially when you're teenagers, like, which is like the most awkward time to do it. But like, you gotta talk about it. You're just not going to talk about it. Like, that's weird to me. But we're adults. I don't know.
It's also interesting just being a teenager, because everybody kind of just assumes too that you know what to do.
Right. And you super don't.
And you don't.
No.
No one does.
Right.
So you definitely do have to talk about it, because you don't know what the other person is into or mm-hmm. likes, or if they're interested in doing it. But yeah, I like this little bit of the parenting that's happening. I did like the line where he did call him dad. You mm-hmm. mentioned that. But yeah, it can change your life forever. I was just agreeing with everything that Alan was saying. Mm-hmm. When they said goodbye to the boys, I was thinking, and this is just because of my own prom, and I don't know if yours did this, but like, our parents came to take photos of all of us. And so I was like, why aren't they going? Like, because I just assumed that they would have wanted to get photos with the girls.
Right. Like, it's like an ordeal thing where you go. Yeah, I went to my date's house, and like, I think half his family was there. But like, obviously my parents were not taking pictures of me going off to prom. So it was mostly just like his family. But we did like take pictures on the lawn and stuff. So
yeah.
I don't know.
It was just very cute and coupley. And mm-hmm. yeah, just interesting knowing that like Corey and Topanga's, you know, just documenting their lives and stuff. I was like, they don't have a photo.
They just have one photo of Corey and Sean.
But yeah, Amy's pregnant. Oh my gosh. And Alan's reaction is obviously so justified at this time, but it's very heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like, to see how Amy reacts to it, because she's very, very excited about it. And he's very clearly not, because he's nervous.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine like having three like fully grown, not fully grown, but like Corey and Eric are both like out of the house or nearly out of the house. And Morgan's probably 10, 12 at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's a very big age gap.
Yeah. It's a huge age gap. And my dad had my youngest sister when I was 12. And like, at that point, he was like, how old am I? He's 35 years older than me. So he was like 47 having a fourth kid.
Yeah.
And like, I can't fathom being close to 50 and starting over. Like, that sounds so I fully understand Alan's like reaction. And also, Amy had like her time to process it beforehand. So I get being upset that he wasn't excited, but also you were probably scared too when it first happened, and you had your time to process it by yourself before, you know, you got to decide you were happy about it. And
yeah, it's not like it just happened and then you right. ran downstairs like, Alan, guess what?
You had two tests. You knew what was going on.
But yeah, they're having a baby.
They're having a baby. This baby, let me tell you something. It's a thing. It's a storyline.
Well, I would assume so, because they're throwing it in at the end of season 5 when season 6 is about to pull up.
Yeah, stuff happens with the baby.
Oh, no.
Good or bad, who knows? But certainly things happen.
I know.
Okay, so the next scene. We are at presumably Topanga's house.
That's what I said.
Yeah, that's my guess. The girls are doing sort of like last looks in the mirror, and Topanga says, so you and Sean talked about, you know, you two after the prom, the big night. Angela says, we haven't really talked about it. It's funny. People think he's really cool, but he is so shy. He has a hard time discussing it. I've decided we're not ready until he's at least ready to talk about it. To Megan says, I've been thinking about it too. Corey and I have been through so much. Now that we know that we love each other, we've decided that when the time is exactly perfectly right. And Angela's like, so in other words, when you say so. To Megan's like, right. And the doorbell rings. Angela opens it and Sean says, wow, you look wow. And she says, you look pretty wow yourself. He kisses her on the cheek and gives her the corsage. She thanks him and says, shall we? And Corey's like, go ahead, we'll catch up. Sean's like, all right, we'll be waiting in the limo. They leave and Corey walks in, closing the door behind him and says, listen, I want you to know that there's no one else in the world that I'd rather be with tonight. And I want everything to go exactly, and Topanga finishes exactly perfectly right. Me too. She kisses him and the doorbell rings again. She opens it and there is a quote unquote nerdy looking boy in a powder blue suit there. He says, Topanga, you look radiant. She's like, Howie, what are you doing here? He says, I'm here to take you to the prom. My dad's waiting outside in the Plymouth. She's like, what are you talking about? And he says, don't you remember a few weeks ago when I asked you if you had a date to the prom and you said no and I said great? Don't you remember? She says, there must have been a misunderstanding. See, Corey and I are back together. Howie's like, so do we or do we not have a date? Corey jumps in, no, you do not have a date. Capiche? Back in the Plymouth. Howie looks dejected and Topanga apologizes. He says, who am I kidding? Even my mother said it didn't make sense. He puts the corsage he has on Topanga and finishes, well, you two go. Have fun. See you at the reunion. He starts to leave and she calls, Howie, wait. And Corey's whispering, oh, please, no, please, no, please, no, behind her. And through her teeth, she says, Corey, I feel bad. And through his teeth, he says, Topanga, this is our prom night. She says, it's his prom night too. And he rebuts, yes, but I want everything to go exactly perfectly right. She goes, if poor Howie is sitting at home crying his eyes out because of me, I will not feel exactly perfectly right. Corey thinks about this and then steps around her saying, so, Howie. He puts the corsage on for Topanga on Howie's wrist and asks, you want to be our date? And that's the end of the scene.
This third boy. Going to the beginning of this, I think it's fun that Angela and Sean have also obviously not talked about it, but the fact that, you know, Sean comes across as this very cool guy, and then he's also just not wanting to talk about anything.
Yeah.
Like, even though that's definitely something that's on his mind, and
for sure.
Like, oh, we're going to do this, but he doesn't want to address it at all.
I think about the line in the horror episode where they're like, virgins are safe. And he's like, I'm about as sick as you can get without actually dying. So like, he's never had sex. We know this for a fact. And he's too like nervous to talk about it, yeah. Even though he like has this cool, cute demeanor. And I think that's just adorable.
We just keep giving Sean more depth. And I
yeah,
like it.
It's the best.
Yeah, I also like that Angela has made the decision that it's not going to happen. Like, it's kind of in both of their powers, just like being the girls, which I thought was cute. Mm-hmm. And then when they leave and they're having this moment and then this boy just appears. I love this boy and I'm so sad for him.
I love this boy. Howie in his oversized powder blue suit.
Man, it's like the nerdiest looking suit that you can have too.
Yeah.
And he's just, because that sucks so bad. They were split and he's like, you want to go to prom? And she kind of agreed, but I guess didn't really agree.
No, she certainly didn't agree. She said, I don't have a date. And he was like, great. I'm taking that as me saying that I am your date now. He jumped to a massive conclusion about it.
Which, you know what? I misunderstand things all the time.
And then also just didn't talk to her about it for the next 3 or 4 weeks.
It's so funny.
Was like, Topanga's my date and we don't have to talk ever again. Like, until the night of prom. Like, but what if they had left earlier and he was just at her door knocking?
But yeah, just like having him and he's like, my dad drove me. He got this whole corsage. He got this tux, and tuxes are not cheap or anything. So the fact that he went through all of this and then his mom, unbeknownst to her, like said that it's unrealistic that he's going with Topanga. And he's like, I'm imagining.
I'm going to show you.
Yeah. Being at home like, you, Lindsay. I'm going to take her.
I'm taking her to the prom.
And so now he's just in this thruple with them, and I just think it's funny.
Yeah, it's adorable.
But I was so sad when he just started leaving.
See you at the reunion is such a funny line to leave on. He said, see you at the reunion. He's like,
just,
well,
never
we're not,
again.
We go to school together, Howie.
Like, they haven't even graduated.
No! Oh, man. Yeah, he's this kid's great. He's got some really excellent timing, and he's very funny.
It's very much the nerd trope, though, to be like, hey, here's this really pretty, like, popular, all things considered, girl. Yeah. I'm going to ask her to prom, kind of. And
But also
just appear. He didn't ask. He just said, "Do you have a date?" Yeah. But just to leave it at that and be like, yes.
Right. That level, like, it's both he's nerdy, but also has an insane level of confidence to think that.
I could never.
Like, yeah. Like, it's just so brave and powerful and good for him, truly. Okay. So next scene, we're at the prom. Cory and Topanga and Howie walk over to the table, which Sean and Angela are already sitting at. And Topanga thanks Cory for being a good sport about Howie. He says, "Are you kidding? As long as I'm with you, Topanga, nothing else matters." Howie calls out, "Hey, Zamsky, look who I'm with," and puts his arms around Corpanga and pulls them in. We get a shot of another nerdy kid in a, like, the exact same blue suit who has his arms around a different couple. So I guess they're just pulling this scam. Like,
I love it.
Group of friends. Cut over to Jack and Eric, who are chaperoning, I guess, for some reason. Jack says, "Hey, look, there's a band." Eric's like, "There wasn't a band at your prom?" Jack says, "There might have been. All I can remember is being in the back of the limo with Karen Uzella." Eric replies, "Barbie Feldman," and makes some sort of throat noise. Jack continues, "I can't even remember my own prom because I was so preoccupied with what might happen after." Eric's like, "Me too." Then whispers, "Anything happen?" Jack replies, "None of your business." And Eric says, "Me neither." They cut back over to the table. Sean says, "Well, this has been one heck of a prom. And now that it's over, you want to go hang out in the back of the limo?" Angela pauses for a beat and then asks, "And do what?" Sean kind of giggles and says, "I don't know. Play?" He's so cute. Cut over to Corpanga, who are dancing. He says, "So pretty soon the prom's gonna be over." She says, "Cory, we just got here." And he's like, "No, we didn't just get here. I mean, really, it's taken us 15 years to get here. I mean, we're not kids anymore, Topanga. We're adults, and I think we're ready for an adult relationship." She says, "Fine, let's get a hotel room." He faints at this, and that's the end of the scene.
That's very funny.
Fully passes out. It's a dramatic fall. It looks great.
Yeah. He, like, rolls his eyes and everything, yeah. And he gets really into it, and I really respect that about him.
It's excellent.
Yeah, I like them just being split by Howie right at the beginning. Just him sitting in the middle. I thought that was funny.
There's, like, a guy working the event. He just, like, puts a chair in between them.
It's very sweet. I did also have it in my notes is, why are Eric and Jack at prom? Mm-hmm. And thinking, are they chaperones? And then thinking, there's no way that that would actually happen. At least in my high school, like, you're not allowed to just show up or be a chaperone. Like, you actually have to be an adult, not just a college student. Yeah.
They're like maybe 20, maybe 21.
So I was confused by that. But both of them just being like, hey, prom's about to be over. It very clearly just started. Like, boys, calm down.
Calm down. Relax. It's been 20 minutes max.
I like how Cory started that as saying, we've been leading up to this for the entire time. Obviously, like, getting to a point, but it's very funny for Topanga to finally just agree on it and he just flips out.
He just simply wasn't expecting her to say yes. He just wasn't ready for it. I also think it's insane that he's like, we're adults. Like,
I,
Angel.
Think about that every time that they reference that in the show. It's like, we're so old now. And I think about being in high school and also having that thought
and feeling like that.
You're super not.
You're so young and stupid. You don't know anything when you're 18. You don't know anything. And I remember being 18 and having people be like, yeah, just wait till you're older, kid. You don't know. Yeah. And I'm like, ugh, whatever. But you don't. You don't know anything. You just don't. And it's okay. It's fine. You're allowed to be stupid. You're 18. Your brain's not fully developed yet. But it's just so funny to hear them be like, we're adults. Like, no, you're not.
We are. No, ready. You're not. We are ready for this. We're adults. We're old now.
In what context are you adults? You're literally still in high school. You haven't even gone to college yet.
Sean can't even talk about sex without laughing. And
you don't have jobs. Can we play? Yeah.
Want to play?
I don't know. Play? Play what? And the next scene, we are in the hotel lobby. We see Cory wandering up to the front desk and he says, hello. And the concierge, who's like turned away from him, says, hello, are you checking in? Corey's like, me? No. You thought I was checking in? No, I was just admiring your bell here. What's this made of? Is this real bell? No, I was just here to say, and he rings the bell, hello. He puts the bell down and the concierge says, hello. And then turns back to what he was doing. Cory then says, hi, I'd like a room, please. And the concierge says, all right, and starts to pull stuff out. Cory continues, for the reason of tiredness, and it's been a very long journey. The concierge says, so you want a bed? And Cory says, yes, but I mean, it doesn't have to be a bed. We could do some dancing first. The concierge, I wish this man had a name.
Yeah, he's because funny enough that he has a name. Hard,
yeah, does he have a name?
No, I'm saying he's funny enough where he should have a name.
Oh, yeah. Let's call him something.
Con.
Concierge is such a hard word to say. Over and over again. And I've typed it so many times in my notes. And the first time I said it, I was like, oh, no.
I just said front desk man.
Front desk man is good. Front desk man.
The guy at the front desk.
Yeah. I was gonna do guy, but then I was like, he's here so much.
He just keeps appearing.
Yeah. I'm gonna call him Khan. I like Khan. Conrad. It's Khan. Khan asks if he wants a king or two doubles. Corey leans in. What would you recommend for someone such as me? The Khan leans in too. Well, have you been tired before? Corey whispers, no, actually, this is my first time ever being tired. Khan asks, and exactly how tired are you? And Corey says, well, let's put it this way. If I don't get a room real soon, I may fall asleep right here. Khan says, yes, well, we wouldn't want that to happen. So one room, one bed, one big night. Name? Corey says, why? I mean, why do you need that? Khan says, I just need a name to put in the computer. Any name will do. And Corey goes, oh, this is silly. You must go through this all the time. I'll just give you my real name. It's Don. Don Quixote. Khan says, that's new. Address? Corey goes, 1414 De La Mancha. Khan goes, so Senior Quixote de la Mancha. I'll just be needing your credit card. Corey makes a surprise face and Khan says, oh, did I catch you off guard, Senior Quixote? Corey starts backing up slowly while feeling his pockets and says, credit card. Card. Credito. Darn. I've left mi casa without it. He runs back into prom and up to Eric, says, listen, emergency, I need your credit card. Don't ask me why, I just need it. Eric's like, oh, okay, but it might be maxed out. I just bought some gum. Corey yells, just give me the card, and takes it and runs back into the lobby. We get a shot of the Khan handing him a key card. Room 702 for the former Senior Quixote and currently Eric Matthews. But I suppose a man of your ilk has many names. Corey laughs and thanks him, walking to the elevators. And now there's no more obstacles to Corey Matthews' big night. Cut back over to the lobby, and Amy and Alan are walking in, all dressed up. Amy says, Alan, this is so romantic. We haven't spent the night at a hotel since our prom night, which is crazy to find out this lore in this moment. He says, well, we may not get another chance to do something like this again for a long time, which I couldn't be happier about. He kisses her, and she says, wait a minute. I got a great idea. You check in, then meet me in the lounge, and we'll pretend we don't know each other. I'll be Siobhan. He says, ooh, you are bad. Well, I'll see you later, Siobhan. She leaves and he goes up to the desk and says, quick, I need a room in a hurry. And the concierge says, ah, voice of experience. There's another woman standing at the desk and Alan says to her, my wife and I are celebrating. We're having a baby. I'm going to be a father, which I couldn't be happier about. This stranger hugs him and says, congratulations. Fan over to Eric, who sees this, assuming some crazy things, and says, daddy. And back in prom, Eric runs over to Jack and says, my father just checked into a hotel room with a woman who is not his wife or my mother. Jack's like, you're crazy. Your father's happily married. Eric says, I just saw it with my own eyes. Jack replies, prom fever. Eric's like, what? And Jack says, prom fever. It makes every man go crazy on prom night. We can't even remember our own proms because we were so obsessed with what might happen after. I gotta save these kids. Eric just says, I gotta save my father. And they go separate directions. And we'll call that a scene because
it keeps going back and forth. And I was genuinely wondering how you
were. I was like, I gotta stop talking at some point.
Fun fact, you can tell at the beginning of this scene that Corey's not actually ready because he's flipping out. Just continuously flipping out the entire time. Yeah, so nervous.
Can't communicate what he needs or wants.
I appreciated Khan. He's very funny in this entire episode. But at the same time, I was also thinking, would this man actually be helping him out?
Oh, no. An 18-year-old? Certainly not.
17, 18, like...
I don't think it's legal, actually.
Yeah. He literally just ran into a different room to get someone else's credit card.
Right. Maybe rules were differently in the 90s.
Yeah, what? The 90s were so lax. On some things, not all things. My thing too was, why would Amy and Alan go to that hotel knowing full well that that's where the prom is?
That is also my thing. There's a big sign in the lobby that says John Adams High Senior Prom. Your kids went to this prom. You know where the prom is. Yes. There's millions of hotels, I'm sure, that you could have gone to that weren't this one.
They're in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
There's gonna be more hotels.
So many
and more for this type of night where they're having just a fun like not final night together, but like kind of.
Yeah.
Just a fun experience. Like, go somewhere where there's not a bunch of kids running around.
Truly, truly.
Make it a very romantic night.
Anywhere else. Anywhere. Any other hotel in the city. There's so many. You're in a major city. Just go somewhere else.
There's bound to be so many other places open. But I did appreciate that Amy is wanting to keep the magic alive in this little role play. I thought it was very cute and very funny. just because when you see a family like that, it's not the first thing that you would think of.
Yeah.
That they would be like into doing all of that. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, how we've known them. And so it's very funny that she's even the one that's like, you can call me a different name and you don't know me. Like, that's very fun. The random woman that just hugs Alan.
So excited.
For why?
And also, the way that he is like talking to her at the beginning is so frantic and insane that any normal human being would not react to him like that. They'd be like,
no,
congrats, man. Like,
just to go hug him. And then for him to also be a little bit receptive of it and yeah. like hug back. If I were Alan, I'd be like, get off of me.
I'm married, woman. I just told you my wife is pregnant.
Like, I feel like he's in a frantic state, but literally if anybody would touch me just without my permission like that, I'd be like, get the fuck off.
It's what so weird. Doing? Maybe in the 90s, this is normal.
I have no idea.
We have no clue. There's no way to know.
But yeah, Eric seeing this woman and his dad, I just thought was very funny. Mm-hmm. I like, because he needs something for this episode, sure. right?
There's no B story. I mean, I guess the B story is Alan and Amy, but they're also very wrapped in the A story that it's like,
yeah.
it's all kind of one thing.
Yeah, it makes it funnier, yeah. but it's funny when they pan to him and he's like, daddy.
Daddy.
Just very upset. And yeah, the other note that I had again was just how are they letting the chaperones be kids who are recently out of high school? I do not understand that.
Truly a choice.
Oh, also fun fact, this is one of the episodes that's banned from Disney Channel.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's about premarital sex. So, of course, it's yeah. banned from the Disney Channel.
You can't show that.
You can't show that to kids. Absolutely not.
I can't know anything.
I think it's really funny that Eric has a credit card and then thinks it might be maxed out because of gum. So that either means that he spent a lot of other stuff, like a lot of other money. What? He spent a lot of money up until gum, or he doesn't understand how his credit card works.
Yeah, I feel like he...
It's more likely the second thing because he's stupid, but...
Well, and then part of me thought, what if he just has spent so much money on gum that it could be maxed out, which I could also see.
Or he's got just the smallest credit limit imaginable.
But enough to pay for this room that right. Corey has just fascinating. Put
how much was
on.
His hotel room? That is a good thing to think about because you just stole money from your brother. He's going to have to pay for that.
Yeah, it's on his credit card.
Yeah,
it's
are you going to give him card. Money?
I also have a fun fact that I didn't really know where to throw in because Angela's barely in this. But this is what an episode. Trina McGee is heavily pregnant in this episode.
That
and so
makes sense.
She, you never see her stomach or yeah, anything. She's yeah. always covered by a lot of stuff.
Yeah. She was covered by Angela or by Topanga in the first scene. And she's yes. got this big shawl on that I'm like, why yes. is she wearing that? You're in
it's
high school.
It's not something that she would wear.
It's like fully a modesty shawl. And I'm like, what do you need that for? You're Maybe. A teenager. That's so funny. Yeah, because she's like way older than them.
Yeah. Which is always funny to think about.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Disney.
Disney.
I mean, Trina's great. She's Don't get me wrong. I love Angela. It's just funny.
It is funny. It is funny. Going to the next scene, we're back at prom. Topanga and Howie are dancing and he tells her she's the best dancer. You can be a professional. I don't know what this is for because we then immediately cut to Jack blocking the entrance as two teens try to leave. Where do you think you're sneaking off to? The guy says the bathroom. Jack's like, nice try. I wasn't born yesterday. Now get back in there to the only prom you're ever going to have. Phoebe sees this and says, I must say, Jack, you're a much better chaperone than I thought you'd be, which is a crazy thing to say. If you thought he was going to be a bad chaperone, why is he there?
It's like, Phoebe, you're the one that makes the decisions on that.
You're literally the principal.
You can hire other people.
You didn't have to choose this. Nobody forced you, Feeny. Insane. Jack says no one gets by, and Feeny replies, attaboy, and then tries to step past him, but Jack steps in his way. This happens twice before Feeny grabs him by the shoulders and moves him to the side, then pats his arm and says, good soldier, and leaves. Cut to the hotel floor. Corey runs to the door to check it as a maid is like pushing a cart up the hall. When it opens, he says, yes, it works. I did it. Wait a minute. What am I forgetting? The maid passes him at this moment and says, the girl. She smacks his head and we cut back to prom. Feeny calls for attention at the stage. So as to announce prom king and queen, it's Corey and Topanga. Topanga goes up to the stage and Feeny crowns her. Corey runs in at this moment and over to the stage when some woman where some woman crowns him. He looks at everyone clapping and says to Topanga, "You told them?" She just kind of shakes her head, and then they leave the stage and run out of prom while literally everybody is watching. They breeze past Jack, who tries to say, "Where do you think you two are going?" And we sort of transition to the next scene, but this one is short, so we're going to do it. Korpanga walk up to the room. Corey opens it for her. They step in and just kind of stare at the king bed. They look at each other, and Corey says, "So what do you want to do?" And that's the end of the scene.
They've never done this before.
No, certainly not.
That's such a real thing, though, if I'm being honest with you, dear listeners. Like, when you get to that first time and you're like, the hell is this?
So we're just like doing plan.
Yeah, literally like anything intimate, just with anybody. When you get to that next step, you're just like, okay.
Okay.
Huh?
Right. Yes. Okay.
Good talk. The little thing with Howie at the beginning, I think is funny just because they have to still keep Howie somehow in the storyline, mm-hmm. even though his part literally just doesn't make sense. But it's like you literally brought him to prom anyway. So yeah. We're going to throw him in again.
And it was nice of Topanga to dance with him.
Yes. She didn't have to do that, no. But she did. And that just shows you how nice of a person Topanga is.
Yeah.
I think it's also... I can't imagine being in the audience for this episode because there's so many little quick cuts that work with editing that I can't imagine just seeing little bits at a time and being like, oh, I'm supposed to laugh.
Yeah, that's a fair point, especially considering they probably didn't film all of this in order because you never film stuff in order. The prom stuff was probably all filmed close together, but like, you know, they filmed all of the downstairs prom stuff at one point, and then they filmed all the upstairs prom stuff at one point. Like, it's probably really weird to watch this one live, for sure.
And I'm even thinking of, like, later on in the episode. Yeah. Like, there are just certain things that even have close-ups that it's, like, it's important for, like, us to watch it and to get it from an editing perspective.
Right.
But again, I'm like, if I was in the audience, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I did think it's funny to just include the maid in
the little piece. I love the maid. The girl. Just doing her job, knows exactly what's going on. She says,
like,
you idiot.
Everybody at this hotel is just aware.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially on prom night that this would be happening.
You silly boy. Forgot the girl.
Yeah, and for him to then just like freak out and then go back downstairs, running down. I love that Corey and Topanga are prom king and queen.
Yes.
I am a little bummed that they don't celebrate it that much. Like, because they're just so interested in that next bit. But I'm like, you guys just won prom king and queen.
It's a big deal.
After your whole breakup.
Yeah.
Everybody was so excited that you guys were also back together.
That they
and
voted
they
you
prom literally
king
voted you to be prom king and queen. And you just run away.
Yeah, it's insane. Also, the fact that everybody, like, watches them run out. Like, I would be so embarrassed. I just can't, like, why are you fine with everybody knowing that that's... The room is still going to be there in 20 minutes after you do, like, a prom king and queen dance. Like, chill out.
And also, Feeny is just clapping in the background. I don't know if you clocked that.
Yeah, I did. So good.
But what a... The writing in this episode, I will commend a little bit because there's just little tiny lines that they put in.
Yeah.
Like, him getting on stage, getting the crowd, and then him just going, you told them? Because it's just clapping as
so
if,
funny.
Oh, yeah, you're like, going to be together.
He had not, like, imagined Topanga being like, yes, me and Corey are about to go have sex for the first time. Thank you so much, everybody.
Goodbye.
Like, so, so silly. And he's just so panicked that he's like, that's the first thing that came to his mind. Like, you literally have a crown on your head. And he's like, they know we're gonna have sex. They know.
Yeah, I mean... Even just down to that, I said it before, but like the maid line, just having it be like, what did I forget? And it's just the girl. Oh, and then leaves. Like, it's just very good timing and writing. And I've really appreciated that in this episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a weird topic, but it's like something that you discuss.
Yeah. And they're making
it. Or like
it,
you have to figure out.
They're making it really fun and like lighthearted while also like at points emphasizing the seriousness of the topic that I think makes it easier for potentially, you know, teens watching this in the 90s to like be more willing to have conversations about it.
Yeah, especially because they're right in that prom is a time that people are thinking about that. And so just making it in a very easily digestible way and format, very good. Good job, writers.
You done it again. I think now we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more prom isses after this.
Hey man, have you listened to Dazed and Confused 33 and a third? Be a lot cooler if you did.
Dazed and Confused 33 and a third. We're cruising through the movie one song at a time, with a cool new guest every week. We're talking about the fashion, the music, the characters, what they meant to us then, and how we relate to them now. So join us at Dazed and Confused 33 and a Third.
Just keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
And we're back at the front desk. Eric is now there ringing the bell and calling for hotel man. The con comes out and Eric says, I need to know what room Mr. Matthews is in. Pronto. Con says, I'm sorry, we don't give out that kind of information. Eric says, really? Well, perhaps my friend Mr. Washington will help change your mind. The con sarcastically goes, ooh. Cut back to Corpanga. Corey says, so you want to see something I've always wanted to do? Topanga says, yeah. And he tosses her on the bed. She goes, so what are you going to do? And he jumps onto the bed besides her. He says, hi. And she goes, hi there. And they start kissing. He yells, ah, don't hurt me. Because she sort of like, goes on top. A lot of this is very visual. And while she's kissing him, he asks if she thinks it's rushing, if he takes off his jacket, because I won't take off my jacket if you think it's rushing. She goes to pull it off of him in just like the worst imaginable way over his head, and it gets stuck. And she's like, maybe if I unbutton this, and he says, wait, I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to see this part. There's a bang at the door, and he says, put me back, it's the Vice Squad, which I don't understand what that reference is to. The banging continues and Corey finally answers it. It's Eric who bursts in. Don't do this. The tramp isn't worth it. He sees Topanga and greets her and Corey. Good. You guys got here first. Where's dad? Corey's like, Eric, do you not see this? Holding the do not disturb sign. Eric goes, wait a minute. The guy said this was the Matthews room. Corey says, it is. Now get out. Eric goes, so it's just you and Topanga. Corey, yes. Alone in the hotel room. Corey, yes. On prom night. Corey, yes. So what you doing? Corey goes, that's enough. Goodbye, Eric. And leads him out of the room as he goes, They close the door and then collapse onto the bed, starting to kiss again. But there's another bang, which Corey answers. And it's just Eric going, He slams it and they start kissing again. And that's the end of the scene.
It's just funny. Yeah. I really appreciate, again, the guy at the front desk.
He's fun.
He's very funny.
He's like, got good timing for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he's just having fun with it, too. Mm-hmm. He's not being like an annoying front desk person.
He's got like a vaguely British accent that I'm not doing for the record.
But he's sometimes you get the front desk people that example in like a Home Alone 2 where they're just like very can be like mean to the kids. And it's funny that he's just playing along with it and then is also just having fun like with whoever he's with.
Yeah, he's like, straight
vibing. I don't know how to explain it. He's having a very good time.
He's just like, I don't get paid enough to take this as seriously as they probably want me to.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to have a nice time.
Yeah. I had Topanga actually seeming like ready for it, it seems. Corey, again, does not seem ready. I think is an interesting dynamic too, because a lot of times like
it's men the opposite.
Men are very into it and women are not. And yeah, it's just interesting. But it's also very older brother of Eric to just come in and then make a scene or just like not leave people alone. And his reactions to everything I thought were very funny. And also just assuming, I don't know, the entire interaction of just thinking that it's Alan and Amy's or Alan's room.
And then assuming and then being that Corey's so confused. Already there and being like, you got here first. Where's dad? What?
He's so dumb. But again, very funny, but dumb.
But dumb. So dumb. So the next scene, we are back in the hotel lobby. Eric is back downstairs and hitting the bell repeatedly while calling for the guy to come back out. He does, and Eric says, not that Mr. Matthews, the other Mr. Matthews, the cheating Mr. Matthews I used to be proud to call my daddy. What room's he in? What room's he in? What room's he in? Huh? The con is so calm through all of this and says, I'm afraid Mr. Washington has received all the information that Mr. Washington is going to get. Now, if Mr. Franklin were asking, Eric says, well, and looks in his wallet, Mr. Franklin isn't here, but how about two Mr. Lincolns and a mystery bag? He pulls his bag out of his inner jacket pocket. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not. The con looking at the mystery bag is how we end the scene. This is mostly just Will yelling.
Yeah, it's all Will yelling.
Yeah.
But Eric just being this concerned,
yeah.
I also just like, even though he's totally wrong, obviously, it's just, it's wholesome that he's also like, I swear if you're cheating, like, I'm going to catch you cheating. And it's
Ricky, when I catch you, Ricky.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's very funny. But also just to have two $5 bills and this mystery bag that he just pulls out. No
Which
explanation.
Is from the prom. It's just like a party favor from prom. So why would he want that? But also, it looks like he kind of does.
He could, I mean, he kind of, He kind of did. He went back up to the floor.
Yeah, he does. How about that?
Surprise.
Okay, so the next scene, we are back in Korpanga's hotel room. They are kissing. Some progress has been made. They're still fully clothed because it is ABC. But they're both sand shoes, and Corey has lost his jacket and cummerbund. They say, "I love you," back and forth a few times between kissing. And then Topanga goes, "Corey, do you love me?" There's another knock on the door. Corey opens it, and it's Howie. I hate this. He says, "I just came to tell you I won't be needing a ride home. This is Jan from the Hertz rent-a-car counter. She says I resemble her ex-husband, Murray." A fully adult woman.
This is
with this ridiculous teenager kissing him on the cheek. It's bad.
It's super bad. So writers, earlier I said y'all did a good job, and
this one's bad.
You didn't do a good job.
This one's bad. And you know, and I think a lot of this we can just attribute to the 90s, because they would do stuff like this, and it's a funny little ha-ha bit. This old woman likes this child, but it sucks, guys. It's not good, and I didn't like it.
It's actively bad. We need to not do those types of jokes anymore.
Anymore, ever again.
No. Why is she with that child?
Why is she with that child? Okay. And Howie, unlike everybody else on the show right now, looks young. Like he looks like a baby. He looks like he could be 15 max.
Yeah.
Like his voice hasn't dropped yet. And this fully adult woman is like, "You resemble my ex-husband, small child."
It's so weird.
It's the worst. Anyway, Corey slams the door, turns back to Topanga and says, "Quick, let's get this over with before Feeny gets here." She says, "You want to get this over with?" He says, no, I didn't mean it like that. I just mean we don't need any more interruptions. We've been waiting for everything to be exactly perfectly right. And now it is. So, and she says, "Maybe we need to be more spontaneous. Not when we think we have to, like one day on the way home from the library." Corey's like, "What? Do you want a book? Here's a book." The book he grabs is the Bible, and he screams when he realizes that, puts it back. I'm sorry. She can use, "And it's just starting to get dark, and you hold me because I'm cold, and we look into each other's eyes, and we just know, maybe that's when it happens." Corey just starts repeating "when" over and over. He's like, when, and in between his whens, she says, "Corey, I want to. That's why we're here. I'll do whatever you think is right. I'm just so confused." Corey says, "Listen, you don't have to be confused, okay? We're adults now, and adults do not get confused." She says, "Right, truly." She
whatever.
Says, "You're right. We're adults. Let's go." And grabs his face to start kissing him, but he screams, "Ow, my eye," because I guess she grabs his eye. I don't know. She's like, "Oh, your eye." And he says, "Don't worry about it. I've got another eye. Just do everything on my left side." She's like, no, you need to get some ice." He says, "No, come on," and tries to kiss her, but yelps in pain again. She says, "Corey, get some ice. I'm not going anywhere, and we have all night." He relents, "All right," and gets up, grabs the ice bucket off the table, she adds, "and bring back a couple of sodas." He goes out to the ice machine and starts to fill it, setting his key card on top of the machine. We see a sign that the soda machine is around the corner, so he heads that way. As he leaves, we see Alan in a robe exiting the room next door and saying, "I'll be right back, Siobhan." The elevator opens with Eric hearing this last part and stepping back into the elevator, making a face of, I guess, shame? I don't really know. A lot of this is very visual, but what it boils down to is Alan and Corey accidentally switch key cards, and in their horniness chalk up the switch to, I guess, bad memory. So Alan enters the room with Topanga, and Corey enters the room with his mom. Alan starts calling for Amy, Siobhan, seeing she's in the bathroom, and takes his robe off. He says, "Let me see what's behind that door." Topanga opens it, shocked to find Alan, who screams. It's very funny. Corey, entering the opposite room, calls for Topanga, saying, "Honey," and Amy calls out, "You like?" and steps out of the bathroom in lingerie. They both scream when they see each other, and she covers herself back up with a robe. Alan then comes out of the wrong room looking confused, with Eric this time stepping out of the elevator saying, "You thought you can get away with it, didn't you? How could you do this to my mother?" Alan, confused, says, "Well, nobody planned this. I mean, it wasn't something we planned on. It just kind of happened, you know? It's one of those wonderful miracles that's happened to me 3 times before already," because he thinks he's talking about the pregnancy. Eric is grossed out and plugs his ears. Alan's like, "You don't even live in the house anymore. It's not like I'm asking you to give up your room." Eric goes, "Wait a second. You're moving her into the house? I can't do this anymore. I gotta know who's in there. Come out now." Topanga then comes out of the room and he says, "Topanga? Oh, Daddy, how could you do this to Mom?" And Corey, who are stepping out of the other room now, "Oh, I am so out of the loop." Corey says, "Wait a minute, what are you guys doing here?" And then just together, more or less, they like sort of go back and forth. But they say, "We're celebrating. We were going to tell you tomorrow, but we're having a baby." We get shocked reaction like shots. And Corey says, "You're having a baby?" Alan repeats, "We're having a baby." And then Eric says, "They're having a baby. I'm going to be an uncle." The parents look at him confused. And Corey continues, "Wait, so you're having another kid?" And Alan says, "Yes, we are. And we're thrilled about it." They kiss, and Corey asks if it was something they'd planned, and Alan says, "No, Corey, it isn't. It's like I told you before, sometimes things can happen in a minute that will change your life forever." Corey and Topanga look at each other, and Amy adds, "We're just lucky that for us, it came at a time when we can handle it. Have a nice night, you two." The parents go back into their room, and Eric just leaves. He goes back to the elevator. Topanga says, wow, they trust us. Corey says, boy, this is the biggest night of our life, huh? She says, yeah, shall we? She holds out her hand. He takes it and they kiss once and then go back into the room. We get like a pulled back shot as the music plays for a beat. And then they come back out with their stuff fully dressed and their crowns on their head and head back down to prom. And that is the end of the episode proper.
What a cute way to end that.
Right?
Yeah. This is a very fun end scene. Mm-hmm. Again, just with all of the physicality and just like the close-ups of it. It is very visual. And I just liked it. It's very funny. The entire time I have so many notes down that are just no. Just realizing slowly what was going on and what they were about to set up. But there was something about seeing, I mean, I know it's like the older people with the teens of the show and like this happening, but there was something just different about it being Alan and Topanga versus like Amy and Corey, because it's his mom. Like, they're technically like family, and then Topanga's not. So I was just the entire time like, Alan, no,
it's so bad. Yeah, so Alan takes off his robe and is in like boxers and a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah, and that's why everybody has to remain fully clothed.
Yes,
especially Topanga.
Oh my god. But yeah, I mean, it's very fun how they did this entire ending. Like, again, it was unexpected, but then it's just like, oh, that's very good. It's caught me off guard the entire time. I think going back before they get injured, you can also tell, because earlier I said it seems like Topanga's ready, but then in this entire scene you're just seeing and hearing her like needing that reassurance and like also wanting it to be good. And you know, Corey even says like, let's rush through it, and she's like, you want to rush through it? Like, just all these things that they're both also not on the same page. So the fact that they're gonna do this next step, or like the next step is planned, they want it to be like, it's very good for them to have that moment of like, no, it's okay to also be nervous and scared about it. And so for them it to just be this entire family affair, to then have that lesson again hit home at the end of like, oh, my parents, who seem to have their stuff together, also had their lives changed like very quickly, like that's very serious,
without expecting it, without planning it.
Yeah, and I like that was them coming to their own realization at the end of what they should do and agreeing on that together and then leaving, because again, like Alan and Amy just walk away. They say that and then they dip, and they're not saying you can't have sex, you can't do this.
They're not saying don't do it. They're just saying like, think about all of the consequences.
Yeah.
Think about like, what could happen. Think about what you're like, make sure you're ready. And I like the moment that they're like, wow, they trust us. Like, it's so nice to be like, you just found out your son and his girlfriend like basically scammed a hotel room. Mm-hmm. And to be that like chill and just like go back to their night and be like, yeah, I know my kid. I know how I raised my kid. Like, I trust them to do the right thing, whatever the right thing is for them. And it's just nice. It's good parenting. It's like really, really lovely.
Yeah. So I just liked it a lot. And then I like the fact that they went back down to prom. So.
Yeah.
Just enjoy
it. You can't have them having premarital sex, guys. Not on God's ABC.
Well, who knows?
Who knows? Me. I know. Okay, so end credits. Back at prom, Corpanga are dancing once again, and Corey says, you know, I can't think of anything else I'd rather be doing right now. She agrees, and then we get a shot of Sean dancing with Angela and mouthing what happened, basically, at Corey. Topanga is very, just sees this, and they're both just, like, playing very coy about it, which is fine. Sean reacts to this, like, come on, you know, but then them all dancing is the end of the ep and full.
Yeah, I like the dancing at the end of prom together. I thought that the rest of it was just kind of awkward, because they're not, like, talking, they're just...
They're sort of weirdly gesturing and mouthing things.
And it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it's awkward. It's very weird. I don't know why they did it this way. I don't even know what Sean is like. I there's nothing I can say that will describe what Sean did physically with his body in the scene. Like,
I don't understand.
It's so weird.
But yeah, it also, it made me think back to also just them going back to prom, and why I like it is like, you're not going to get that moment again. Mm-hmm. And so just like, enjoy it. Yeah. Like, because that's their last little bit of high school, and which is weird.
It's weird.
I read the synopsis for the next episode.
Oh, man. I love the next episode. I love the next episode. I watched it today after I finished prepping, and it's wonderful.
Exciting.
Exciting. Well, hey, this is the end of the episode. What was the lesson, Sid?
Well, sex and or being intimate with your partner is not something that you should rush into. And obviously, like, needing to talk about it and having trust with one another or being on the same page, but you really just, you don't want to rush it.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. But, like, you gotta know.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. And have nothing to add.
Sick.
It's fun. I love the end of season 5. It's really great. And I'm excited to keep on trucking.
Yes. And in the meantime, you can find us on social media, on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at The Lost Years Pod. I have a nostalgia question.
Ooh.
People want to engage because I was just thinking about it with my nostalgia earlier, but what was your favorite children's book? Please
Slay.
And thank you.
Give it to us.
So either through the messages or on social, however you would like to send that. But yeah, we'll also just share when the episodes drop and yeah, give us a follow, engage in our nostalgia question. Please. If you would like.
Yeah, feel free to email us the answer to that question at thelostyearspod@gmail.com. We'll read your email on the show. You can also rate us and write a review on all the places you can do those things. It really helps us out, helps people find the show, and subscribe wherever you get podcasts as well. Because that helps. All of that helps. I skipped a thing.
Yes.
I skipped the thing where I say subscribe, rate us and write a review, and subscribe. Because all of that helps us out and helps people find the show.
Yes. And thank you to the Scavengers Network for having us on the network. You can check out other cool shows there like Timeline Scavengers and James and Aaron Minute Movies on www.scavengersnetwork.com.
If you want to find me individually, I'm on the internet everywhere at Takro. And I'm taking my computer to Micro Center this weekend as we record this. So you will see some streams from me, maybe not before the month is up, but at bare minimum in April.
Sick.
So keep an eye on twitch.tv/itstakeout. That's where I will be.
Exciting. I'm everywhere on the internet at Sudsley. So on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and Twitch.
Slay. What a delightful episode. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. This is fun.
This is a fun one. I liked it. Okay. And yeah. Thank you for listening. Until next time.
You're Tay.
You're Sid.
Just like it's always been.
What else do you need to know?
Goodbye, fam.
Bye, fam.
The Scavengers Network.
Creator-driven, community-focused, treasured content.